Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck.
This is our last goodbye. I hate to feel the love between us die. But it's over. Just hear this and then I'll go. You gave me more to live for, more than you'll ever.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. When singer Jeff Buckley drowned 10 years ago this month, it was not, as he's singing in the background, his last goodbye. Though he only released one studio album in his lifetime, since his death, the Buckley Estate has released no fewer than six CD packages, including So Real, songs from Jeff Buckley. And Buckley's not alone. Last month, a double CD of songs by Elliott Smith, who died in 2003, hit the stores. And next month, a new CD by Nick Drake will be out. But releasing so-called new music after an artist has died is always a risky proposition, especially when that artist has a protective fan base. We're joined first today on Soundcheck by Katie Hasty, associate editor at Billboard.com. Katie, so we've got this phenomenon of within the span of 2 months, new releases by the late Elliott Smith, the late Jeff Buckley, and the even later Nick Drake, who's been gone for over 30 years. Why this enduring fascination with these artists?
Well, I think part of the fascination with them is that first of all, their deaths, there's always been a kind of air of mystery about all three of them, especially considering the circumstances of those deaths and the fact that they were all very young. Elliott Smith was 34, Nick Drake was 26, Jeff Buckley was 30. These are young dudes, and especially considering they didn't get into, well, say, Nirvana-type, you know, hugeness in the commercial world, there's a lot of fascination there just because they're underground artists for all intents and purposes.
And kind of now preserved in amber as these doomed young poets,
right,
of the rock guitar.
Yeah.
In the case of Jeff Buckley, though, I mean, here's a guy who, the irony is, he's much more prolific after his drowning than he was before.
Apparently, so was Tupac.
That's right.
Particularly interesting with Jeff Buckley in that there are various incarnations of I think the collections that we're seeing now are kind of culled from cover songs that he's done, live performances of the songs that he's done but also just trying to, looking for anything brand new in the world of Jeff Buckley is kind of hard to come by except in those incarnations.
All right. Now, we're also being joined today by Larry Crane. He is the archivist for the Elliott Smith Estate and, in fact, the engineer of the new 2-CD set called New Moon. Larry, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi. How you doing?
All right. Now, the New Moon has 24 tracks, all previously unreleased. You know, some might say there was probably a reason they were unreleased. How did you choose to make these available?
Well, we went through the material from that era. We were given a finite timeline due to, you know, record contracts. And we went through the material from that era, and, you know, there were reels that songs had been culled from that are on his albums, the self-titled second album and Either Or, his third album, and in between the songs that had been previously released were lots, you know, quite a number of other songs. And
were these songs that were essentially done, you know, they were complete and ready to go? And
absolutely. I mean, they just, in most cases, they needed mixing. We had rough mixes that Elliott had done, but he was definitely more attentive, you know, in creating final mixes for the songs that were used, like, say, on Either Or.
Right.
And some of the rough mixes that he had done of these songs that I later remixed.
So these,
you know, were just a little rougher in quality, and I could get better fidelity, you know.
From modern equipment, sure.
From old equipment, but
okay. But Larry, you mentioned there was kind of a timeline. So we're talking about this new album looking back at a period early on in Elliott Smith's career, right?
Yeah, it was 94 to 97.
Okay, so he had ample opportunity while he was alive to release these songs himself, but he didn't. And I guess that's the question, is, you know, why weren't they released? Did he not think they were kind of, you know, ready for prime time, so to speak?
No, when he was compiling the songs that were on his third album, Either Or, he had recorded a number of extra songs. And in fact, I interviewed him in that time period and actually worked on one of the songs that was on Either Or, and then started a studio with him soon after that. So I was around quite a bit for that process. And he'd recorded a number of songs, more than he could fit on the album. And then right after that period, he signed with DreamWorks and then started creating an album for that label. So, you know, it's sort of like, well, I'm just moving on. And he was also a very prolific writer. So you're looking at, you know, there's easily, you know, if you've written like 20 songs and, or maybe say you've written 30 songs and you culled your 12 songs for your record, then he moved on to do a whole new record and written a whole bunch of new material, which he was excited about. So it wasn't that the material was weak. It was just that his career was moving so fast and he was moving so fast as a writer, you know.
All right, so now in putting this set together, you discovered an early version of a song that Elliott Smith actually got an Oscar nomination for.
Right.
Miss Misery, which appeared in the 1997 film Good Will Hunting. Let's first hear the original version of this song by Elliott Smith.
To put bad thoughts in my head.
That is the late Elliott Smith. Miss Misery was written for the film Good Will Hunting, but when Larry Crane went through the archives for the new 2-CD set called New Moon, he found this earlier version of the song.
It's torn in half and a lot and nothing to do, but it's all right, cause some enchanted night I'll be with you. The tarot cards and the lines in my head tell me I'm wrong, but they're untrue.
This is from the new 2-CD set, New Moon, which is actually a series of old, previously unreleased songs by the late Elliott Smith. The album engineered by Larry Crane, who was the archivist for the Elliott Smith estate. And Larry, this earlier version of Miss Misery doesn't even have the name Miss Misery in the chorus.
Right, it's different lyrics. I'd like to correct something, though, a couple things. There are three previously released songs on New Moon, although two in a very limited fashion.
Okay.
And also, Miss Misery was claimed to have been written for Good Will Hunting, but that's totally a farce.
That's where I was going by mentioning that Miss Misery's not in this original version.
It's right. It wasn't written for Good Will Hunting. It was written, you know, as a potential song for his next album, which was XO. And that was a demo he recorded by himself at my studio, Jackpot. And then we recorded, and I co-produced with him, the version that we heard first there. Which Gus Van Sant heard. Elliott played it for him while I was out one day and said, oh, I'd love to use that. And then later the spin was put on it that it was written for Gus's movie, because if it's not written for the movie, you can't nominate it for an Oscar.
Okay.
I feel I can comfortably say that now because he didn't win and he's no longer with us, but I had to keep my mouth shut in the day there.
Okay. Larry Crane is with us. So is Katie Hastie, the associate editor at Billboard.com, and we're looking at this phenomenon of a recent spate of releases of mostly unreleased prior material from some singer-songwriters who are no longer with us. And Larry, in addition to, you know, putting this record, this New Moon collection together, you actually had to title some of the songs yourself, right?
Yeah, well, I did a lot of research, and I think people think, you know, that maybe you just put the reels up and go, oh, here's the new record. But a lot of the time I spent doing research initially was like looking to see what could possibly be out there and asking fans what they thought might be out there. And then when I did find songs, sometimes there was no indication whatsoever of a title. And I would get some contemporary friends of his and co-workers, you know, cohorts to listen to a song and say, do you know of this song? And they would say no. And so there's really only one case where I really had to pull a title out of thin air, and I tried to keep it in quotes, but that's called All Cleaned Out.
All right.
And there was just no indication on the tape reels, on the boxes, on, you know, of any song title, and nothing that we could find to help me out on that one.
It's interesting you mention bringing the fans into it. We can bring Katie Hastie back into the discussion here, because Katie, you know, Jeff Buckley, we mentioned the album So Real. Looking ahead to the Nick Drake first issue of like some home tapes next month. I guess I'm wondering, you know, there are protective fans, but there are also protective families involved. I mean, Jeff Buckley's mother is known to be very protective of his, you know, musical legacy and stuff. Does that work in favor of the listeners, of the music, or does that get to be a stumbling block?
Well, I think it all depends on the perspective you're coming from. I think as a fan, you would want to hear that stuff come out eventually, whether his mom puts it out or, you know, some bum who lived down the street, as long as you get to hear it. But to a degree, you want somebody who can curate, who has the ability, the ear to put, you know, different portions of that career together. And, you know, you could consider her being a stumbling block. She has disallowed people to use her son's music, or she's kind of given her official stamp on, you know, his biography, on the documentary that came out. She's working on the biopic. Like, everything's going through her, which is really, I mean, very fascinating. She doesn't wait for the checks to just come in the mail. She's very active in her son's life.
The story is that Brad Pitt wanted to be involved in the biopic about Jeff Buckley, and she said no.
She feared he might have been too old, perhaps, but she, you know, she's hoping that perhaps she and Brad may be able to work in some other capacity. I don't know if that's some official capacity or not, but that he did express some love for Jeff.
All right, well, here is a little bit from the CD called So Real, Songs from Jeff Buckley, which is out today. And if you listen to the words on this one called I Know It's Over, they seem somewhat prescient in a kind of creepy, weird way.
The soil falling over my head. And as I climb into an empty bed, oh well, enough said. I know it's over, still I cling. I don't know where else I can go. Over. Oh mother, I can feel the soil falling. You see, the sea wants to take me, the knife, it wants to slit me. Do you think you can help me? Sad veiled bride, please be happy.
That is Jeff Buckley doing his version of a song by the Smiths called I Know It's Over. And Katie, when you think that this is a guy who drowned at the age of 30, and that line, you know, the sea wants to take me, I mean, certainly he wasn't thinking of anything like that when he chose to sing this song. But, you know, you're treading a very fine line here in terms of what's in good taste, you know, to release.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that Larry and a lot of people at Kill Rock Stars and at DreamWorks had to struggle with that when they addressed Elliot's legacy as well, just because, you know, there's a lot that had to do with his state of mind, his stability emotionally, having to deal with drugs as metaphor, as, you know, all these other things. And I think, matter of good taste, somebody can point at that and go, oh, well, I've That's he's singing about his own death. He knew that's what's going to happen, but you know, that just adds to the mystery.
Yeah, and we still don't really know what happened in the deaths of either Nick Drake or Elliott Smith. There are those who claim both were suicides, and those who claim that neither was. But Larry, the question of what's in good taste. I mean, when you have somebody who has died young. I mean, to me, the song "Fond Farewell" from the album "Basement Over the Basement on the Hill." Mm-hmm. You know, I got chills the first time I heard that, where he's singing lines like, "You know, it's not a suicide; it's just a fond farewell from a friend." And I just trying to put myself in the position of someone who had to decide whether to release a song like that so shortly after the guy had passed away. That had to be a difficult decision to make. Did you have decisions like that with this new 2-CD set?
Not necessarily. No, that didn't. Luckily, there was one song that we didn't use, and I can't really discuss it. But it really was the choice of the estate,
mm-hmm.
Not to use that. And but beyond that, there was a little bit of discussion about lyrics and stuff at some point. But the argument I did make at the time, the point I made was like, you know, this is his work, and you know it should come out. You know, you can never go back in time and know what that person would have intended or said yes or no to. It is a matter of taste in many occasions, you know, not to do something really tacky.
Right.
And cover art really is probably more sensitive than what songs you put on at times, or maybe the album title, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So New Moon is the name of this new 2-CD set of the songs of the late Elliott Smith. Now, of course, Pink Moon was what put the late Nick Drake, I mean, we can't call him the late, he's been dead over 30 years, but was put on the map as a result of that 2000 Volkswagen ad campaign. Now, next month, the Drake CD Family Tree, and Katie, this has 28 tracks. Most of them, you know, done at home, songs that he recorded just with his guitar or with his guitar and with his sister singing. I mean, what does it materially add to our knowledge of who Nick Drake was?
Well, I think the intention of this record was not for it to be like a proper record, like you can start listening to Pink Moon or you can start listening to Family Tree. I think it's specifically for fans, and it's not the starter set. I think it reveals a little bit about who Nick Drake was, where he was coming from, as far as material goes. There's even a couple tracks of his mom on there, and his mom was a huge influence on his life. He does covers of blues songs and old traditional English songs. He even does a classical cover. And you don't necessarily think of maybe your favorite artist, Nick Drake, having been into classical music to a degree. It just reveals a little bit about somebody who is so far gone out of our consciousness that you're just like, you know, I would like a little bit more of a view into
context,
this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing about this collection is his parents were already making tapes for people who would make the pilgrimage out to his home. They were already making the tapes and being like, here, this is here. You can hear like the beginnings here. And you know, if you couldn't afford to go out there, gosh, I bet you would really want to hear that record.
Larry, is that basically the rationale behind, you know, going through Elliott Smith's archives and reissuing this stuff to be more, not just to be a completist about it, but to give some sense of where he was coming from?
I think to a degree, and also, when we look at New Moon, I mean, the estate and I have always felt like it's strong release, but it's certainly not, you know, an album in the respect that say, his other proper releases that were done during his lifetime were. You know, it's more a collection to help fill out a period of time.
Right.
You know, to make gain further understanding to the person's art.
Well, the new album from Elliott Smith is called New Moon. Today is the release date for So Real, songs by Jeff Buckley, and next month we get the Nick Drake collection called Family Tree, which includes this version of All My Trials with his sister Molly singing. We've been speaking with Larry Crane, the Elliott Smith archivist, archivist of the Elliott Smith estate, and the engineer of the set called New Moon, and we've been speaking to Katie Hasty of Billboard.com. Katie, Larry, thank you both for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Soundcheck.
But it's too late, my friend. Too late, but never mind. Oh, my trials, Lord, soon be over. If religion were a thing that money could buy, then the rich would live and the poor would die. Oh, my trials, Lord, soon be over.
You're listening to an encore edition of Soundcheck.